It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, you guys. We are back with another episode of 902-1ONG with my favorite people, Jenny Garth and Sissany. Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hello, ladies.
So happy to see you.
Pretty ladies. Happy whatever day of the week it is to all y'all. Mm-hmm. Who knows when you're listening to this? I don't know. Nobody knows, but we're happy that you're with us. That's for sure. Oh, yes. My gosh.
Thank you so podcasts. Much, you guys. The outpouring of love for our podcast has been amazing. And I'm just going to say it. Thanks for all of our stars. You like us. You really like us.
Oh, the stars are so shiny. It's really nice. It's nice that you guys like us. And we're trying really hard to do a good podcast for you guys. And, you know, we show up every week. We do our homework. And Sissany's always so happy to see us. And we're happy to see you guys. So that's it.
I know. Baby on board. She has 50 million jobs. And look at her. Baby on board. You know what, Jen? She has youth on her side.
On her side.
And you know what I realized today is that my weeks of pregnancy are matching up with the week that we're on that episode. So
stop it.
So today we're talking about episode 18 and I am 18 weeks pregnant.
Weird. Line is crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Stuff happens all the time. That's just weird like
good
that. Like
timing.
little signs that you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Thank your husband for shooting it that day.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Had to go there, sorry.
18 weeks ago. Yeah. Well, this was episode, like you said, 18. It's only a test. Air date, March 28th, 1991.
The synopsis is, Brenda is filled with horror when she discovers a lump in her breast, which calls for a biopsy. Meanwhile, the upcoming SATs put extra pressure on everyone, especially Andrea and Steve. Things heat up during a study night together when an intimate moment happens between the two. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this episode started out with, you know, SAT frenzy. Mm-hmm. It's a test, the SATs, everybody was stressing out about it. And it quickly kind of shifted gears into a different kind of test, which was Brenda's breast examination test. Mm-hmm. And she had to go get a test at the hospital. So I thought it was interesting the way they wove these two storylines together.
It was very clever. I'm not going to lie, you guys. This is the episode I was kind of dreading coming up for obvious reasons with Shannon. It's, you know, I know everyone thought about it when she had cancer. Yeah.
This was really hard for me to watch. Like I had to actually use it. I cry. I wiped my tears a couple times because
I did too.
It was just too too close, man. Too weirdly synced in a not good way. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, what is that called? That's like
foreshadowing.
It was foreshadowing synchronicity, but the outcome, obviously, Shan's a warrior, she's a fighter, and she did, you know, she's resilient. She bounces back. She's a fighter. And I think Brenda's a fighter too. So those things lined up in a positive way. But we've never talked to Shannon about it, but I can't help but know that she must have thought about like, oh my gosh, if only all these years ago, 30 years ago, gosh, who would have thought that, you know, this would come true 30 years later?
Yeah. We've never really said, can you believe that episode?
No.
Where Brenda thought she had a lump and now, you know, we've never really addressed that. We should.
And of all the characters, you know, it lines up that they would have done it with Brenda, you know, one of the twins, but just the way it worked out, it's just kind of, it's shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, even without this sort of like weird synchronicity, the episode was very dramatic and very like serious undertones, you know. Thank goodness we had a little bit of comedic relief with Steve and Andrea.
Thank you, Ian Ziering, for always supplying us with that.
Yeah.
His little bed flip
sometimes
at the end.
You need that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very, very excited to plant his lips on Andrea.
But you know what I love the most, I gotta say, is, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, when we filmed this episode, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I mean, I think I was like 17, like we were teenagers, you and I, and I was like, I've never checked my breasts. Like, I would never even think of it. You know, I didn't know. Like, this can happen to a 16-year-old. And I remember, because we filmed that, like, we had to do it on the bed and they taught us. I definitely, like, that after that, I always checked from that day forward. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, like, teenagers watching this today that are finding 90210 now, to it's relevant. Like, it's never too early to start, and it's such a great message. And I just think it's so important as women.
Agree. Yeah. I mean, we were young, and I'm sure doing that on the bed, Kelly and Donna and Brenda, was really awkward. With, like, you know, the crew guys all standing around, and I'm sure that was uncomfortable, but very helpful.
Yeah, embarrassing. I mean,
very embarrassing, but also, like you're saying, like, super informative, very, very helpful, right, to so many young women out there. And I mean, hopefully, and I'm sure it did, but hopefully the show just really helped a lot of people with this episode.
I thought the way they wrote it in was really creative too. They had Kelly reading it out of a magazine, which is what you did when you were in high school and your friends were over at your house. You guys would look through magazines and take the quizzes, and
it was
all
so
that
cool
stuff.
Because they then had the shot of the visual, you know, like, so people could actually see what we were talking about, just to really bring home, like, this is how you do it, you know.
But to Jen's point, like, keep in mind, you guys, we were three teenage girls. All three of us were in our teens still. And imagine doing this in front of, predominantly at the time, a male crew, like you were saying. Like,
do you remember what it, like, felt like? Not like the actual physical part felt like, but, like, mentally it felt like.
No, I was watching it and I was thinking, oh my God, Kelly is unbuttoning her shirt. What is happening? She's unbuttoning her shirt. I see there's all of her. And I was getting really nervous. And then I thought, okay, grow up. She's just going to do a breast exam. And I felt like the characters really, even though we were probably super uncomfortable, we all did a really good job of, like, not laughing. Like, you know, there was a little levity in it with your line, Tor, about, aren't you glad you wore deodorant or something? But I felt like we delivered the message as well as we could in that moment.
There were probably some giggles off camera just because we're teen girls having to touch our boobs on camera. So it's uncomfortable. I mean, definitely, you know, I think it's important that people do that behind the scenes, and something you would do with your friends if you were curious. But in front of, you know, a whole crew, like, how many crew members do you think would be on set during something like that?
Just, like, right around us? Like the core camera department, the grips, the electricians, the prop people. What
that's
else?
A lot.
Hair, makeup.
20 people?
Yeah, at least.
At least.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to set the stage that we're, you know, three teenage girls. This is all new to us. It's our season one. You know, the show wasn't a hit yet. And we're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Under the spotlights of those huge lights they had us under. In a really bright room, Kelly's bedroom, which was so, that was a lot. Like, with all the red and the pink and the artwork of herself. Like, whose idea was that?
Is that Kelly?
Yeah, that's that. Or those are pictures of Kelly on Kelly's walls.
I would cringe doing it in front of a crew at 47 years old. And, like, you know, I can't imagine 17 doing it. Like, oh, wow.
And that's more awkward than a love scene in a bed, almost
I
naked.
I think so.
Really?
No. I don't think so.
I hadn't done a love scene yet at this point. So this was the closest for me, at least.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I hadn't done a love scene before. But that's a kiss. That wasn't like a...
Yeah, it's
a
kiss.
Skin on skin
Steve
situation.
That you practice in the garage. Come on.
Different. It was different. But no, neither of us. We hadn't, any of us. Even Brenda hadn't done, like, love scenes on the show yet. but Andre and Steve did. I keep coming back to it because I'm sorry. It was interesting.
My jaw dropped.
When we did BH90210, I don't know who brought it up, but the writers, I think, brought it up that Andrea and Steve had this love scene. And I don't think we remember this. And we were like, no, that never happened.
No, they never got together. But they did. That's it. Is this it? Or does it go further? I'm very curious. Do Andrea and Steve hook up again?
I don't think so.
One time, special event.
It was a one and done. Yeah. We like special events, limited event series.
Special engagement. Limited special relationship. But she did look super cute. She did look super cute there on the bed with her took off her glasses. Looking so
hot
sassy.
For teacher look, like without your glasses.
And he's all, I mean, manly and in his white tight t-shirt and his tight acid wash jeans. He's just so confident and like, well, no, I think if I were that age, I'd be like, hi. So burly and manly.
I always thought his room was burly. So cool.
Yeah. Didn't he have like money behind him on the giant dollar bills or something? Dollar bills.
It's $1,000 bill.
$1,000 bill, yo.
He loved the money. But he was hot in that scene. When she left.
He was sexy. So was she. She was super sexy.
Yeah, right?
Is that okay to say?
Yes, of course. He like flipped over his bed and like laid down on the couch. And then when he's laying on the couch right before that, they cut to the next scene, you can see him going like, doing the funniest like chewy thing. It was so cute and so Ian. Like it just, you know, that's like one of those. So many times with Ian and with Steve, their characters are so blended to me, like, because he brought so much of his humor and his like just lovability to that character. Yes.
To that I really want to meet him. I really want him to come on the podcast.
We want you to, too. I love him so much.
I saw this video he posted.
He says he wants to do it.
And he's active on social media. He posted this video the other day of like his lunch and I watched the whole thing. And he was making avocado toast with like a poached egg.
Sis, I watched that entire thing.
And his voice was just so soothing. And he was just so excited for his lunch.
It was like watching, you know, one of those like late night infomercials.
Oh, man.
I gotta go back. I gotta see this.
Like, if he had had that avocado and egg toast for sale,
you know what? I actually was like, is he going to put a link to the hard boiled egg?
Yeah, he had a machine that makes that poaches the egg for him. So he doesn't have to poach. So,
you know what?
Of course he does.
Ian's a total entrepreneur. If he was thinking straight, he should have put a link to that because he would have sold them. Because I was in. I was like this.
Wait, we couldn't stop watching his hard boiled eggs. I don't know if I would buy Ian's earrings, hard boiled eggs.
It was a poached egg, but he overcooked it.
He did. He did so slow. And then one broke a little bit. And I was like, good for him. This is real, which never happens on Instagram. He didn't go back. He had kids to feed, you know?
I'm going to watch it for sure. Definitely.
It's a long damn video.
Now I know how I'm going to spend the rest of my afternoon. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Going back.
There was a lot of olive oil, though, he poured on it.
I think it went a little overboard at the end, but it's fine.
The funny thing is, I was watching, I was like, God, are Bennett and Mia going to eat this? And I was like nervous because I was like, that for young kids, it was very adults. He had some salt and some, it was a lot.
I did not get turned on by the video.
Please stop talking about the fucking avocado toast video. I'm done with
Sorry. Remember we were talking about all those, like the 5 stars we had and all the people, we just lost them just like that. Okay. Anywho,
turned it dirty.
Back to the show. Sorry, I'm hungry.
Okay. I want to talk about the opening of the show just because there was just in particular one moment that was like, whoa, it's the 90s. There's a kid sitting outside the school before it ever really starts, and he has the biggest, weirdest contraption on his lap. I don't know what it looks like a typewriter, but it's ginormous. And I'm guessing that was like the first ever
laptop
made ever by man. it was like a caveman laptop.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was so huge. It definitely caught my eye.
Yeah, I had to like stop stop the thing and rewind and watch it. Rewind, I don't know, go back. What do you say these days? And then also another moment in the show that brought me right back was that when Carol is in the kitchen and she has a giant phone book. Do you guys see that? Like,
I missed the giant phone book.
Ginormous yellow pages.
Yellow pages.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that anymore. They don't have phone books anymore. Where did all the phone books go?
Isn't that sad? I remember as a little kid, as a toddler, you didn't take around booster seats and stuff, and you would go into restaurants and they would bring out their phone book and they would put it on the booth and the kid, you would sit on it at its table or a booth. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
And also there was that joke too. Well, not the joke. Oh, it's not a joke. Something about like, I could listen to him read the phone book.
Oh yeah.
Like that means like somebody's just so good. You just want to, you don't care what they're saying. You just want to listen to them.
What would be the 2021 version of that?
Nobody talks to
you. I was going to say dictionary, but even that's like everything's digital.
I could listen to him read Reddit all day long.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, Brandon says right out of the gate, you can't study for the SATs. He's very adamant about that, right? He's like, says you can't study. You can study for the SATs.
I saved my butt off for the SATs. Yeah. Did you take the SATs?
No.
I took them. I did horrible. Like I did so
too.
Bad that I had to take it again in hopes that you get like a higher score. And it was like 40 points higher. And I was like, okay.
That's a lot.
Hope this acting thing works out.
No, that's a lot of 40 points. My girls, I mean, because that's the thing. You can take it 3 times now.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And you like pick your best score. But now colleges aren't even using SAT scores for acceptance.
Really?
Yeah. That's going to be a thing of the past. That's going to be a thing of the past. Unless you're going for like, you know, a doctorate, like some, a doctor, you know, if you're studying that, I think they don't even look at test scores anymore. They didn't for my daughter that applied this year. She did. She was given the option. You can either, you know, send in your test results or you don't have to. Just send in do all the other things that you have to do to apply and write a really good letter.
Right. I remember writing an essay.
So, like, yeah, I know, sis, notes. We got to take notes. Yeah. This is going to happen to us one day and me sooner than you. Oh, my God.
No.
My kid just turned 14, you guys, and I'm having a real hard time with it.
You know what? I felt that on your Instagram. I really feel like you took a trip down memory lane with all those pictures.
Oh, my God. The cutest pictures ever,
I was crying all day, you guys. I don't know what was wrong with me. It was really weird.
Just because Liam's 14? But is it?
I'm not sure what it is, you guys. I turned, you know, 40 and like it was okay. Now I'm 47 and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. He turned 13, didn't have a big deal. He turned 14 and it was as if my world ended. I don't know what it is. I keep looking at old pictures of him. I keep crying. He walks into the room and I get emotional and I'm like, I can't believe this.
Because he's so big now. He's just like a young man all of a sudden. Right?
But it really, oh God, I'm going to start crying. It was the first time that this has ever hit me that chapter's over. Like it's finality. It really is. Like the baby making, the baby, little babies, them as toddlers, you know, and Beau 2 weeks. So my first and my last are 10 years apart and 11 days. So March 2nd and March 14th. And Beau turned 4 and then Liam turned 14. And it's just like, I know. I mean, I know you know it too, Jenna. It's just like, you look at little babies. We look at you like you're embarking on this journey again. And it's so amazing. And it's something that's, you know, it's a closed chapter in our lives and we can't go back. And and my kids keep saying, but Mom, you'll be a grandma one day and you can hold all the babies.
That's true.
And I'm like, yeah. And I'm grateful, so but I'm just emotional right now.
Wait till your baby turns 14. You're going to be a hot mess.
Oh, are you trying to break her right now? She can't even
I know because I've been
through it. You know I'm an ugly crier. Don't do it.
It's so awful. And you're right. Like that, I miss the babies and I miss all the fun of being a mom to little people and chasing them. And it's really a hard transition as you get older to think, oh, I'm never, okay, that's something that I've really loved and valued and cherished. And I'm never going to get to have that again. But then
there's not many things you could say that about, right?
Right. You have to sort of like reset and look ahead at being a grandparent and how exciting that's going to be. Grammy, Tori. Can they call you Tata? I like that name.
Your youngest is still so young. You have so much longer of a journey.
I'm already coming up with her grandma names.
Do you know your grandma names yet?
I think hers should be Tata.
That means boobies. Why are you doing
this
to me?
I like it. I like it for you.
I'm going to be Tata's?
Tata was actually my grandpa's name. That's what we called our grandpa was Tata.
Really? Oh, sorry. Oh my God.
It's like a Hispanic name for his grandfather.
Probably not the right episode to be talking about boobies. Sorry. But okay.
Where in the hell are we?
Why don't you know what? Let's regroup. Let's regroup. Get some tissue. And let's come back. We still need to cover more of the SAT storyline.
And let's do it.
And then I have questions about how when Brenda went to the doctor and how the doctor was just like poo-pooed the mom and was like, you need to leave and I need to talk to your underage daughter alone. So a lot of questions about that.
Let's talk about that when we come
back. Welcome back.
In this show, Kelly's reading out of the article in the magazine when they're doing the breast exam. And she says one out of nine women will get breast cancer. That was in 1991. So I was curious what has happened over all these years. Have we gotten better? Have we gotten worse? So in 2021, it's now one out of eight women will get breast cancer.
So that is
so there's that.
So it's worse. So
that's worse, right?
That's worse.
That's so interesting. You would have thought that 30 years later, like it would have
we would have progressed. We would have learned or but I guess maybe there's more people in the world, of course, now than there was then.
Right,
but
but we're so much more informed now as women.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
When Brenda went in to get checked out and she's with her mom. I thought it was so weird that the doctor told the mom to get out of the room and she would speak to Brenda. I'm like, does that happen? I don't have kids that are teenagers, but does that happen?
It's there's a weird fine line when your kid becomes an independent person and they can function on their own and they should speak for themselves.
And have you had to like leave the room?
Yes, I have had to leave the room.
You have?
Wow. Wow.
Because, of course it's like, are you okay with me leaving the room and whatever the circumstances were? And they always said yes. And of course I knew who they were going to be sitting with and talking with. And I also, after they finished the meeting, I would kind of get a general fill in from the doctor or the person that they had met with. So it wasn't like I was completely out of the loop, but they just want to establish that kind of, bond.
Trust.
And cause you need that moving forward in your life. You have to be able to have full disclosure with whoever it is that you're speaking to, a therapist or a doctor of any kind,
Right.
And so I think that's an important step in, just becoming an adult and becoming your own voice. And I thought it was a good thing, but it was definitely, you could tell Cindy wasn't comfortable with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either, but I guess I have to be.
Yeah. The first time it happens, you'll see it sort of plays out in front of your eyes and you'll make the right decisions. You'll do the right thing, but it will feel a little weird. Mm-hmm. And the doctor I thought was so great. She reminded me of my gynecologist that I had when this is so weird, right? She reminded me of Dr. Goldman, who was my first gynecologist, and I had moved to LA. I didn't have any doctors or anything, and I must have been 16 or 17, and at some point I needed a gyno, and I didn't know who to ask, so I asked my manager. And Randy James, he's a man. Why I asked him for a reference for my gyno, I don't know. But he gave me one. I guess he probably called someone and asked them.
He is the keeper of all knowledge, though. He really is the go-to. So it's in line.
He did good on that because Dr. Goldman always was my my gynecologist until she retired last, no, 2 years ago now, before the pandemic.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Are you serious?
Yes. And she delivered my first baby, and then she was supposed to deliver my other kids, but she retired from baby delivering. So,
yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I love the gynecologist. Cool. In the show.
You love the gynecologist.
I just loved her. In the episode.
And did you notice, Jen, at the hospital when Brenda goes in and she's getting the biopsy? They say in the background, paging Dr. Rosen.
No, I like that.
Because our executive producer was Chuck Rosen.
Oh,
paging Dr. Rosen.
Dr. Rosen, please come to admitting.
Yeah,
that is a fun fact.
I like that.
Another crazy takeaway is that you guys are all taking the SATs because you're juniors, and it's common to take the SATs when you're in the springtime when you're a junior. But then,
right. But aren't we sophomores?
No, well, I don't even know anymore. The show started out as juniors, then when the second season picked up over the summer, got really popular. So then producers and creators decided to keep all of you as juniors one more year. It didn't really bring light to it. So I'm curious to see, like, if we'll see the SATs happen again or a whole.
Are you sure we weren't sophomores when we started and David was a freshman?
I fact checked it because I was so thrown
that
off by
like
it.
Like what it would have been that we were sophomores and David and Scott were freshmen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or was it just not mentioned the first season? Or it was?
It just really wasn't mentioned per se, but, you know, sophomores don't take the SATs.
Fact?
If you read on, like, some articles, it says basically you were all juniors, but they basically wanted to milk the high school years as much as possible, so they just repeated the junior year for season three.
So season three, okay, so we were juniors again, and then David was suddenly a junior with us.
Movie magic.
He moves up somehow.
That's like soap operas when suddenly, like, I mean, soap operas, fact, you can like tune in 30 years later and be like, oh, same characters are here. It's just things are a little different, but you can go right back into it. But I love when they have babies like one time in the soap opera, and then the next thing you know, they're 16 years old and have their own storyline. And it's like there were a year in between.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. Okay. Are we back to talking about SATs?
Oh, yeah. We're getting some facts. You can practice for the practice SAT exams as a sophomore, but official tests are junior year.
So why did Dylan, I was confused on this, say that he's going to be surfing when he talked to Brenda, and he said, and I'll take mine senior year when you guys are all taking them now and I'll be surfing. Why would he do that?
Because he was just a cool guy.
Yeah,
how could you take it senior year and like be okay?
You can still take it early.
Beginning of your senior year.
Oh, he must have been a smarty pants then, I guess. Here's the thing that drives me nuts about the SATs is and tests like this. I know I was in this group, like tests panicked me. I would get so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean, and I feel like kids go by scores and they're like, I'm not smart. Some people are just not good, fact, at test taking.
So true.
It's better now, like you said, Jen, that you don't have to. But before, oh my God, everything relied on that score, filling on in those little bubbles. It was madness. Really scary.
Stressed me out too.
When you think about it like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I always really tried to keep my girls calm around any kind of test preparation, around any kind of homework, any kind of schoolwork. Honestly, I've always like, just relax. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Life is about so much more than what you're learning or what you're testing on right now. Mm-hmm. And just really try to get them to calm down just so they could do their best. Because yeah, some of their friends I've seen just freak out when they have to have a test, and they just get so much anxiety and then they flub it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's only a test,
people.
I used to literally test, like, obviously not things like this because they were the bubbles you had to fill in. But when there was like a written test, I used to go in, you guys, and I would be covered head to toe in like facts of what I had studied.
What?
Written on my arm, yeah. Written on my leg, under
second.
My school.
That's cheating.
Well,
only if you get caught. So, oh my God, you're a dirty little cheater.
Oh my God, it was. But here's the thing: I couldn't have known the test. I was just writing like things I had studied and memorized. I didn't do it all the time. You know, I'm dramatic, so I always embellish.
She did it
to,
one
like,
time.
Make the story.
She wrote something on her hand one time.
But you've never cheated on a test, Jenny.
I mean, I don't know. I don't remember cheating on a test. No, I remember taking a test once. With a hangover. I hope my kids don't listen to this one. But yeah, I remember going to school and I had done some drinking the night before. And the next day I still felt drunk and I took a test. I did really well on it though. Let's talk about Brenda's dream.
Oh, that dream. First of all, she looked beautiful in the
dream. So beautiful. The dream looked like a movie, like, I don't know, like a, who's that guy that did Beetlejuice? Tim Burton movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just reminded me of Tim Burton movie. The lighting and the smoke and the way she was dressed. It was really cool.
It was beautiful. I wonder, I mean, I personally love that they chose to put her in white, not black in her dream, which was expected, right?
Such a beautiful casket.
It was.
Like it was like a beautiful casket. The casket thing is weird though.
Yeah. Very fluffy.
Yeah. I looked very comfortable. I wouldn't mind taking a little nap in there, but I don't know about being in that for the forever. And
have you ever had to do a TV movie where you're laying in a casket?
Mm-mm. Have you?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's freaky.
Creepy.
It is creepy. You're like, no thanks. And I liked the little bit of foreshadowing when she's going around to everyone and they're filling in the, you know, A, B, or C, what would you choose? And Kelly had to choose, sorry, I'm not going to get it dead on, but basically take Brenda's boyfriend. And she goes, oh, Kelly, because that's the one you obviously chose. And not that you took him. You can't take a boyfriend or a husband, like, or a girlfriend or a wife or a partner. They do it their own thing, but later on you and
I like the little jog that you did with that.
they do their own thing. That's how they do when they like march off and leave the other one. I don't know. But you know, that was foreshadowing, and I'm sure they didn't even, did they know the storyline that they were going to put, you know, Kelly and Dylan together when Brenda went to,
I'm sure that there was a lot of seeds.
Sorry.
Of...
I know people don't like us to spoil.
Oh,
sorry.
No. I feel like they definitely knew that at some point all the characters were going to be intertwined with each other. There's only so many characters to, yeah.
I mean, heck, nobody saw Andrea and Steve's kiss
nobody
coming.
Nobody saw that coming. That's true.
I did never saw that coming.
That's true. But I did think that the dream was beautiful and so well done, and I enjoyed watching that. And I also really liked the scene with the twins when they were sitting on the bed together and they were talking and Brenda was crying about her aunt that had died, and it just was so sweet. I liked that scene.
Yeah, that's an emotional episode.
It really creeped me out though, like, what are the chances that they would give the aunt that had breast cancer, she had breast cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a different cancer? It was breast cancer, right? Mm-hmm. That at 35, you know, Sheila was her name. And then I'm sorry. I just kept thinking, I was like, Sheila, Shannon. Like, I don't know. It was just like weird coincidences that no one could have predicted. But,
yeah. And so what she was saying too really got me. It was, she was saying that her aunt just became so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of like distanced herself from the people in her life that loved her because she wanted to. But it really got me just thinking about that, you know, and the connection, and made me want to reach out. But I do want to say though, regarding that we talked about before, was, and now it's 1 in 8 women, and how that sort of seems like we're going backwards. But I do think that because of early detection and all the improved treatments,
right,
the deaths from breast cancer have dropped significantly, actually 40% from 1989 to 2017. So great strides are being made, and
we should
definitely acknowledge that. It's so important, but it's all about the early detection with anything, you guys. Like, not to be too serious, but you guys have to be your own health advocate. You have to be the CEO of you in every respect, and you need to take stock in your health and pay attention, because you're the only one that's going to. There's no doctor out there that's going to, you know, keep track of you and make sure you go all your appointments and make sure you're all completely healthy over the years. There's no spouse, no partner that's going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And it's best to do it now. Like, start today. Do something that you're like, I know, you know, this is in my genetic makeup, heart disease or breast cancer or any kind of cancer. Like, if you know you have genetic pre-existing risk factors, start there and go look into getting, you know, start with an annual checkup of that specific thing, and target your attention so that you guys are taking care of yourselves, because I want you to. That's all. Sorry. I'll stop preaching.
Be proactive. No, it's everything you're saying is so right on and so important. And I think a lot of times we forget, you know, even as adults, we forget, and you know, you fall back and you're like, oh, what am I doing? Of course. But here, you know, people will be like, 16, isn't that too young? But like, it's not. Look at Brenda. Mm-hmm. She had, you know, she did have a tumor and it worked out, but you just never know. So.
You never know.
She had a lot of support though, from her parents, all of her friends, even though Kelly and Donna couldn't really figure out the right words to try to make her feel better.
That hug at the end, though, was so sweet.
And just the gift bag, like when they show up at the house.
What was that gift thing you brought?
Ginormousest gift basket ever made. And you have the floral arrangement from like the Four Seasons or something. Where did you get that? It's so big and obnoxious. We are like, we are overcompensating, I think, for our inability in the previous scene. We felt real bad about it. But I felt that scene at the school where they're finding out about it was really genuine, because I wouldn't have known at that age what to say or how to be there for someone. So I felt like it was a pretty accurate scene.
It was really authentic.
Helen and Donna brought it home.
I loved Brandon in this episode.
Yeah, he was so thoughtful, and it was about somebody else. I felt like
it was nice to see. And that last scene with her, like sitting on the bed, just like, I would have missed you so much. Like, I don't know. It was just like, oh.
Did it make you miss your brother?
That sounded morbid. No, he's not dead.
It made you like, it reminded you of that like sibling connection. And did it make you, because you have a brother that's close to your age. So,
yes, right? My brother is 5 years younger and I do miss him. He lives in Portland. I miss him all the time. Mm-hmm. But just, I think you're right. The note there is, don't wait till it's something that could be life or death to tell someone, I love you. That was the thing with Brandon. Like, you know, we don't see them often enough, kind of. We see the sibling rivalry and they kind of support each other. But this was just like, whoa, it was presented to him that this could be major. She could die. Someone in their family did die from this. And he was like, poured his heart out. And it was so cute.
Yeah, I love a gooey Brandon moment.
Me too.
And was Dylan, so Dylan told Brenda, I love you, right outside her front door.
That was big.
That's the first time.
Is that the first time?
Oh. I believe so. Yeah. And then that's why she calls him, and all she says is, I love you. And then she hangs up on his answering machine.
Note, you said answering machine.
I was going to say voicemail, but nope. It was an answering machine.
Good old answering machines back then.
Leave a message at the beep.
Beep. And remember when people would try to be funny? You probably did that, didn't you? Leave a message after the beep, and then you go beep before it would actually beep.
Maybe. I don't know. That or like
you do the fake hellos. Hello. And then they think you answered. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, hello.
Okay.
Hey, you've reached this.
I'm not here.
That was fun. Thanks, sis, for acting that out for me.
Have you changed your voicemail recently?
I have not ever listened to my voicemail. How would I know?
What is it?
Her voicemail makes
call
it
my
sound
phone right
like
now
she's...
And I'll let it go to the answering machine. I want to hear what it says. I swear I have no idea.
So I can't tell you how many times I have called and I'm like, hey, so it's like, I got to tell her something about work. And I'm like, hey, and I start talking. And then I hear her like, she's messing with people. And she's
play
like,
it. I want to hear it.
Hello, like you're answering. And so then you start talking and then you realize like, oh, it's
yeah,
her
call
voice.
Call it on speaker.
Call me. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, don't pick up.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay. Hey, here we go.
What's up?
I bet you changed it.
Oh, I almost answered it. Okay, she's calling me.
Hey, leave me a message and I'll call you back.
Bye. No, that's different.
At the tone.
No, that did sound like, hey, it's me. Like almost like you're answering.
Well, who
like,
answers
hey,
their phone. Hey, it's me.
No, I'm telling you guys. Before it was like, hey, like you, it literally every time I'd be like, oh, I got fooled again. Because I'd be like, oh, hey, how are you? And then she'd be like. It would be beep, beep, and then she'd be like, leave a message. And I'd be like,
I can't remember the last time you actually left me a voice message on any device. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore, does it?
No,
my mom
I never
does
do.
It, but no, you don't.
Okay, so.
Also, you and I both are known to hate talking on the phone.
Hate.
I do not like to talk on the phone ever.
Like phone phobia. We have phone phobia. Isn't that weird? We've had that forever. Like, we have that in common, too. Like, it's just...
Even my own like family members, it takes a lot for me to be like, let's get on a phone call and chat it up.
Me too. So I am going to announce that my best friend.
Oh no, what I do
last
know.
Night. Yes. So she's been sliding into my DMs. You're so like young and relevant. Like, so that's the new thing. Like no one like texts people anymore.
No,
they just like DM them.
I'm lazy is what it is. I'm too friggin' lazy to switch to the messages because I happen to be on my Instagram and I see a message. So I just respond there because you're already there.
That's true. And so the thing is, you can tell when someone's active. So you're like, hey, if you like reply and they don't reply back. Well, I guess that's not true either. Because if you have it on your background, it's
yeah,
always
you
says
leave,
you're active.
If you leave your app on, you're always active.
Yeah. Okay. So my app's always on. I don't know. Yeah. So she was like texting me, but DMing me and I didn't check it. And then when I checked it last night, I was like, oh, my God. And like,
panicked. Why are you bringing this up?
I'm only bringing it up because I feel like DMing is very relevant right now. And if I hear one more person say, hey, oh, yeah, let's get in touch. I'll just, you know, slip into my DM. And I'm like, sounds so dirty. Slip
just
into my
text
DM.
Me. I'd rather you text me. It's more, I don't know. There's something more personable about it.
Right? But that's how like social
but
media
the kids,
now. You just
they
say
like
to people,
the DMer.
Yep. Yeah. Slip. But why do they say slip? It sounds really nasty. Slip into my DM.
It sounds
and then
dirty.
Someone yesterday told me, they were like, hey, just drop into my DM. I'm like, oh, am I outdated now? I had just gotten like cool with like slip into my DM. And now I'm like, okay,
I think
guess
a
drop
slip
now.
Into your DM is when, you know, you have all the DMs and you don't notice it. And then you see it later. I think a drop into your DM must be like, bam, I just sent it. Like, boom, it dropped right in.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
These are very important conversations, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, a DM is also Donna Martin, so it's like.
There you go.
Well, we need to talk about fashion and our favorite lines and then also get to a few emails.
Great.
So let's take a break and we'll come back.
Hey, this is Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Tanya Rad, that's me.
Yeah, and we have a podcast called Scrubbing In.
Yeah, we do. We are two best friends and we love
Grey's Anatomy.
Hence the name Scrubbing In.
Exactly. And this week we have one of Grey's Anatomy's very own, Anthony Hill, who plays Winston on the podcast to chat about what's been going on.
If you follow Grey's Anatomy, you know that, I mean, there's just a lot to talk about. There are sudden deaths. People are coming back this season. There's a whole lot going on.
It is a huge season for Grey's Anatomy. So I highly suggest you tune in.
And you're not just going to get Grey's Anatomy. I mean, we have girl talk. It's just girl talk.
It's like you're talking with your best friends on the couch.
Yeah, except not with your best friends. You're talking with us. Your virtual best friends.
We're your virtual BFFs.
That's right. So listen to Scrubbing In on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So in this episode, the Rembrandts song played during Steve and Andrea's very surprising kiss. Why don't we talk to the Rembrandts now?
We have Phil Solomon on the line from the Rembrandts. You're half of the Rembrandts.
Yep. One.
This is what I find interesting about you have had over four decades of friendship and beautiful artistic collaboration with one person, with Danny Wilde. And I find that sort of symbolic because Tori and I kind of have that same very long history together, still working together, still loving it. And I was just thinking, like, what do you think is the secret to that kind of a successful relationship with a partner?
Probably that we just don't know what else to do and we just keep on doing whatever comes up. You know, if there's a secret, somebody please tell me.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that you guys have a great love for each other and that you have built a level of trust that you don't maybe have with other people. So you guys are comfortable well with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have it's like an intrinsic thing. From the minute we met, we kind of knew that there'd be some, you know, we were in separate bands out in Hollywood at the time and just kind of ended up like, wow, okay, we created a new band and got in it. And then eventually this Rembrandts thing happened. So yeah, on again, off again.
Right, right.
8 years.
I love that. I love that about you guys' relationship. And Rembrandts, for me, there's just so melodic and there's so many beautiful harmonies and that's what you guys, wasn't your breakout kind of song for the Rembrandts? Wasn't it Just the Way It Is, Baby? Baby,
that's just the way it is, baby.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's the first song that we recorded as the Rembrandts. And we weren't even called the Rembrandts at the time. We just got together to write some tunes and maybe get a publishing deal. And that was the first song we wrote. And it was the first
amazing
song on the record. And it just kind of all fell into place from that. Just
how did we get so lucky to have it on the show? I mean, we had your music several times on the show, but... Do you remember? I mean, you have so much to remember.
How did we get so lucky to be on the show?
Thank you. But we felt lucky to have
We're
you.
We're grateful. Yeah. That was big for us. That was major.
Oh, really? It was more major for us to be on you guys' show.
Well, we both benefited in a good way then.
Yeah, right. Okay, can we get to the Friends theme song now? I'm dying to know.
What would you like to know?
That was your second song, right? That was like your second hit song?
Well, we had a couple other songs that weren't quite, that didn't, you know, really become smashes or anything. But then pretty early on, yeah, we stumbled into the Friends camp. And when that came out, we really thought it was just going to be like, we will be the mystery sound of this show. And that'll be that. But then our record company decided, because there were so many requests everywhere on radio stations for it, and it was only a 42-second long song.
Oh my God,
so they
it just
said,
went crazy.
You guys are gonna write more to this and finish it. We're gonna put it on your record.
And that's how it happened.
Wait, I have a question. Sorry, probably everyone knows the answer to this, but what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, you had the song, it was a hit, and then Friends... How does that work? They license it to be the theme song, or you wrote it for them?
We wrote it with the music director of the show.
Okay.
And he had the idea of mainly how it would scan out. It has to be this long. It has to be, here's some parts. He jammed out some piano stuff. And then we you know, experimented, and they had Allie Willis sending lyrics from her place via fax.
I love her. So,
a fax machine.
She's no longer with us, but I love her.
Well, I have a crazy question. Do you get paid every time that song comes on? I gotta
Jenny
know.
Garth.
I'm yeah, sorry. I know that's
Phil,
a very...
Phil, do you?
Well, we get a little slice. You know, the show is just... I think wow. They're saving it. They're going to surprise us one day.
A big present. A big Christmas bonus.
My 12-year-old and my 9-year-old are obsessed with Friends now. And they've discovered it and they think it's like their show. They have no idea that I was like, oh my God, in the 90s, like this was our show. They think it's something new for them. And they're like, oh, Friends. And they have all like the merchandise that's out now and Target, like Friends. And they walk around singing the song and it blows my mind because I'm like, oh my God, that was me in the 90s. And now my kids are singing it. So yeah, you span generations. Wait, so Courtney Cox playing, she learned to play the song on the piano. She actually played?
Yeah, I saw that a couple, 3-4 weeks ago. She put a video out on Instagram. And
that was real?
It was her playing. I didn't know she could play piano. But, you know, we did a video together with those guys. And Courtney played drums in the video.
That's rad.
So I've always wanted to ask a famous musician this, but I don't know any. You're the only famous musician I know. Oh, so okay. What happens when you're in a restaurant or in a bar and you hear them play one of your songs? Like, what happens? Does everyone look at you? And are you like, what do you do?
My internal calculator starts adding up how many pennies I'm going to get.
Oh, I love you.
Good man.
So
good
funny. Man. Wait, so what's coming up next for you? What do you got on the back burner or the front burner? I don't know.
Well, it's funny because we just released a new album last year. Well, actually, the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. And then we were fixing to get out on the road and promote it. And we had a whole tour booked. And then this COVID thing kicked in. And everything got canceled. So maybe we'll pick up where we left off when it's safe.
Ooh, if you ever go back out, we could be your groupies. Like when it's safe to go back out.
I'm kind of nervous about going back out on the road. I've spent a whole year in my house.
Well, I think I hope that you guys are comfortable and everyone's able to come and see your concerts coming up. We just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you. We're such fans. Mwah.
Everybody has love language, you know? Like,
right.
How you show your love to someone or how it is that you show up in a relationship.
Right.
For me and my husband, communication is not our strong suit. We don't communicate easily, efficiently together or to anyone, but we're just not good communicators. So my husband made me, when I had to go to Canada, he made me, when I have to go anywhere, he makes me one, a playlist. And when you listen to the music, so you get the message of whatever he's really, truly feeling. Like,
aww.
Because all of the songs say something amazing and make you feel so loved and like just talk about he's the luckiest man in the world. And, you know, like he communicates through his music. I think that's so his cute. Way.
Oh, my God. Beautiful. I'm crushing on Dave right now. Oh, my God.
Well, he'll make you one, too. He loves to do it. I swear. Maybe it'll have a different theme, obviously. But he'll make it.
Oh my God. Wait, so I'm going to slip into Dave's DMs. No, I'm sorry. I follow him. So he follows me. So
drop it.
I'll drop a DM to him and say, Dave, like for my birthday, will you make me a playlist?
He will cute. Be so happy to do that.
I was looking on Instagram yesterday and Dave was on and, he's, by the way, he's the most supportive, like friend ever. Like, on my stories, Dave's always there. Makes me feel really good. No, I'm always like, oh, good, Dave saw it.
Is it that or is he just spending way too much time on his phone?
No, I think he's efficient. I don't know. I feel special. Maybe he's on his phone too much. But he was eating what looked like a can of peanut butter.
Oh my God.
Do they even, yeah. I almost like he's texted
home alone
him was like,
and fending for
which
himself.
Which made me think, I was like, oh, he's missing her. Look at this. Look at poor guy.
It's come to that. And you know what?
It's come to that. It made me sad.
That's deep in the pantry, you guys. It's not just a jar of peanut butter. You're
it's
right.
It's a can.
It's a giant can from like Restaurant Depot. Because I bake the pies for his restaurant sometimes. and I have a lot of supplies. That is one of my pie baking supplies. And he went and ate it. I was like, hello, that's for the pies.
But like you're talking about communication and your own love language, like that picture said 1,000 words. I was like, oh, he's ready for her to come home.
Yeah, he missed
her. He's into the can of peanut butter by himself.
Giant industrial size.
Industrial.
There was a night.
That's good.
Should we talk fashion?
We didn't. Oh, we didn't. Oh man,
no. We didn't.
Oh, I didn't. There was no like standout fashion moments for me in this episode. I mean, all the boys kind of looked the same as each other. Pleated pants, blousy men, blousies, shirts, blousies.
Dylan, it's the first time I've seen blousies. Dylan in a Steve blouse.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I right?
Oh.
It was like
they
a.
Just go to the blouse barn. you guys know that store, right?
Sorry. Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. Blouse and it was barn. Like, yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Black collar, black sleeves, and it was like puke green and like lavender stripe. Like, what?
I don't know what's happening.
It was crazy.
Cindy had a really cool pink suit at the hospital.
Cindy looked great. Yeah. She had the other time when she went to the doctor's office with Brenda, when she showed up at the school, she looked like a Beverly Hills mom all of a sudden. Yeah.
See, funny enough, I didn't love her outfits in this episode.
Oh, really?
I felt like, I don't
they were
know.
Trying.
I love her when her hair's like loose and she had her mom jeans and a blouse tucked in and just kind of looked so like.
These definitely felt like the costumer was trying to up her ante.
Start to change her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like
really?
Fitting into Beverly Hills. Her hair looked different.
Yeah.
It was like an all around different. I'm going to be honest. She looked older. Like she usually looks so like carefree and fun and young and like cool mom. And I love her looks. And here I was like, oh, this is like an example when people are like, oh my God, do I look like you kind of, I look like I'm wearing my mom's clothes. Like she looked like she was wearing mom clothes.
There wasn't a lot of other great fashion moments. Did you guys have a favorite line from the episode perchance?
Mm-hmm.
Lay it on me.
So my line I loved, and I'm sure you guys loved this one too, was Brenda's hope for the best, expect the worst.
I didn't like that line.
You don't like it?
No, philosophically, I disagree with it.
Hope for the best. Because it's like kind of like, okay, here's the worst case scenario. If I expect the worst, then I can only be like happy with anything better. I guess you're right. It's a little glass half empty, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you should expect the worst in any situation. I think you should always expect the best.
Fine, you're right.
And it's like manifestation. Optimistic. Yeah, like don't even think about the worst. Think about the best.
It's hard anyway. Sometimes. Okay, sorry, go on.
Mine we talked about kind of already, and it wasn't my favorite per se, but it stood out to me. And it was Kelly and Donna telling Brenda, and I think Kelly's the one that said it, that she really doesn't hope that ever happens to her breasts. And then it just came out so wrong and uncomfortable.
We both made it about us. I hope it doesn't happen to my breasts. And then I'm like, me too.
Me too.
What else? Oh, did I have a favorite line?
Did you?
Let me think. Oh, yeah, it would have to be, guess my hormones were raging at the end when Brenda says that, when she doesn't have the thing. I thought it was really cute, and I thought that it, well, that was cute.
I think they even, like, showed a glimpse of Dylan when she says that.
He goes, tell me about it.
Yeah, right?
Tell me about it.
All right, we have some questions from listeners. Ashley is saying, I have a question for Jenny and Tori. Out of all the different seasons of 90210, have you ever been jealous or envious of someone else's character or storyline at the time?
Was there ever a story arc you wish your character would have gotten to experience? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, Ashley, as you asked that question, I was thinking, what would it be? What would it be? The only thing that came to my mind instantly, which I'm sure there were other instances definitely where I was like, oh, that would have been so cool to have that storyline, was when we were all at the, this is a spoiler alert, but I have to, we were all at Dylan and I think her name was Tony's wedding on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean in Malibu. I just remember.
And you wished it was you?
I did. Well, I wish that was me getting married to Dylan.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I can remember that vividly because we were just the guests.
For more of the sake of Kelly marrying Dylan or just for the fact that like you wanted to act out a wedding, like be in a wedding dress?
Both. I wanted to marry Dylan.
Okay.
I wanted Kelly to be marrying Dylan and having that special, beautiful wedding. Because it was beautiful. I don't know.
I'm biting my tongue, my lips, everything. I'm biting everything.
That's so
because it's so multi-layered.
I know.
On so many
whatever.
Levels.
What was your, what's yours? What's yours?
Very
answer
young,
Ashley's question, like, damn it.
She's like, don't go there.
No, you need to answer.
I think for me, it was probably the first couple of seasons, just not jealous so much, but watching all the girls have storylines and dialogue and kind of, you know, my character grew slowly. So it was just a lot of one-liners, which honestly, sometimes one-liners are harder.
Like,
especially if they're not good. If you have a zinger of a funny one-liner, that's easier.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting in a scene and you have one line and there's a whole scene, you're depending on like you're looking and you're listening and your eyes and, you know, it's difficult. Rather
your
than
eyes
having,
just
like,
looked
a,
really crazy. I don't, that scene's going to be weird.
But
no, but you're so right. That's 100%
true. There were times
true.
Where I was like, oh, I can't wait. I hope one day I have like a big storyline or I can have a scene where it's two of us and we're talking back and forth. And it happened,
see,
obviously.
Your dreams came true.
They you did. I manifested it.
That's
see?
Right.
I didn't expect the worst.
That's exactly my point, people.
You're right.
Okay. Sean is asking a very serious and long question.
Oh boy. Okay.
So here we go. How does this make you guys feel now watching the show and seeing Brenda with a scare and knowing Shannon is currently battling her second round of stage 4? Also, after Shannon left the show, there was an estrangement, as far as I know from the media, between Jenny and Shannon. But when Shannon had cancer the first time, Jenny posted this wonderful tribute and created the best hashtag, #FightLikeBrenda. It was so moving and wonderful to see the sisterhood and bond of the friendship reignited after all those years. How did that all come about?
Well, Sean, that is a long question. First, I'll address the beginning, I think. We already kind of talked about that in the beginning of the episode, how it was sort of...
It was hard for us to watch this.
Yeah, and who knew? And now watching it back, it's eerie it's not good. It's not a good feeling.
No, it was, you know, I remember like when she had fought and overcame and was in remission, we looked back and we're like, oh, that was a coincidence, but she came back from it. And obviously, you're correct. She's, you know, battling it again, but we believe in her, and she's such a strong, strong woman. And she does so much. She's such an inspiration for women everywhere going through this. So it's still hard to watch, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad to get to the next episode.
And I mean, to address the other part of your question, because I don't want to be rude. There was. There was the word out there that Shannon and I didn't get along, or we were estranged, as you called it. I don't think that's the case, though. I mean, Shannon and I are two Aries women. I don't need to say any more than that. We lock horns sometimes, as Rams do. you know? And I actually like that about her, and she likes that about me. So, we've never had a problem with our differences. I don't think, there's been times when there's been feelings hurt and things said, but that you're sisters. At the end of the day, there's a bond that we all have with one another. All the cast members have with one another, that it is like, it's like super glue. You can never break that bond. And, so we're all going to be there to support each other at the end of the day, no matter what any of us are going through. Whenever one of us truly needs the other one, I know that they will be there for me. And, just like we are for Shannon.
But I didn't know that you did that hashtag, fight like a Brenda. I love that. 'Cause it's so true.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I made up a good hashtag that day.
It's a good one.
I might have a career in hashtags, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, like if this podcast thing doesn't work out, which it will, because we have 5 stars. But little, it could be your side hustle, creating hashtags for people.
I want to work on it.
Good stuff. There you go. Well, I think that does it for today's podcast, ladies. Homework assignment is episode 19. April is the cruelest month.
Be there. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Slip into my DM.
Just kidding. Wow, wow. That like the funny one-liner at the end.